Good morning. Chief Clerk, please call the roll.
Roll call on Wednesday, February 28th. Agar?
Present.
Anderson?
Here.
Anselmi Dalton?
Here.
Baldwin?
Here.
Barnard?
Here.
Boner?
Here.
Bouchard?
Here.
Burns?
Here.
Case?
Present.
Christensen?
Here.
Coe?
Here.
Dockstader?
Here.
Driscoll?
Here.
Ellis?
Present.
Emmerich?
Here.
Hastert? Hicks.
Here.
Kinski.
Here.
Landon.
Here.
Meyer.
Here.
Moniz.
Here.
Nethercott.
Here.
Pappas.
Here.
Perkins.
Here.
Peterson.
Here.
Rothfuss.
Here.
Scott.
Here.
Von Fladern.
Here.
Wasserberger.
Here.
President Bebout.
Here.
30 present.
Prayer this morning by the Father Rick Bike. Please stand.
Thank you. Today I'd like to offer first a moment of silence and then a prayer for guidance today. The moment of silence is for Lawrence Anderson, who many of you may have seen in the obituary today, longtime lobbyist for the Wyoming School Board Association. So if we could have a moment of silence, please. We thank you for your servant, O Lord, who served this faith, this state faithfully. Amen. I'd like to now offer a collect for state government. Let us pray. Almighty God, our Heavenly Father, send down upon those who hold office in this state, especially the Senate, the spirit of wisdom, charity, and justice, that with steadfast purpose they may faithfully serve in their offices to promote the well-being of all people. Through our one and holy God, we pray. Amen.
Please join me in the Pledge of Allegiance. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. Will the reading clerk please read the Journal Committee report?
Mr. President, your Journal Committee reports that the Journal of February 27, 2018 has been read and recommends that it be approved. Senator Bouchard, Chairman.
Any objections? There being none, the report is adopted. I'm not sure who I should ask to give the report. How about Mr. Vice President and maybe the senator from the northwestern part of the state? That'd be Park County. We had a great event last night for tourism, and the Senate, as I understand it, came through with some timely bids and to support our tourism industry. And I don't want to say anything, but I don't remember any House members stepping up. Mr. Vice President.
You know, I really think that the Senate was the only ones actually bidding, and once the House members started to raise their hand, we cut them right off and bid above them. So the Senate did really well, and we did really well for tourism last night. So thank you, and thanks to Senator Driscoll for pushing it so hard. And where is Kirsten?
Yeah,
there's our auctioneer right there, Senator Kirsten.
We're gonna have him auction off. We tried to get him to auction off the governor's number one license plate. I don't know why the governor wouldn't donate that. I thought that was a good idea, but maybe we'll pursue that for another cause. Senator Coe.
Great evening. Expensive evening, but it was great. And my significant other gathered up the merchandise that I purchased, threw it in the back of her car, and left town.
Without you.
You know, I got to tell you, there's a hidden message there. That you need. Senator Burns.
Just for some of the old-timers here who've been here longer than me, and there aren't a lot of you, but you remember my predecessor in the Senate seat, Tom Kinison, and as you mentioned at the beginning of the session, he's ailing. And so one of the items in the auction, and I purchased it, was to have your name used as a character in the CJ box book. And I just wanted to let you know that the character's name is going to be Tom Kinison.
Thank you for that. And, you know, of course, these maps over here were donated by Senator Burns. He's very gracious. And he also...
That one's Lent.
Lent. Well, maybe you'll donate it after I made that comment. And he also was very generous last night. In fact, I have a special one silver dollar. This is 1890 when our state became a member of the Union. Okay, we have a doctor of the day. Today is Dr. Larry Kirvin. Where's... I don't see Dr. Kirvin.
Let's applaud her.
And we also have the nurse of the day, Cynthia Labonde, Wyoming State Board of Nursing.
Good
welcome.
Job.
Yes. Today in Wyoming history, the legislature passes a new death penalty statute in an attempt to address developments in the law as interpreted by the federal courts. That sound familiar, the federal courts. What year was that? Senator Wass, Berger, you've been pretty good on guessing the dates. Well, you're supposed to pay attention when I'm talking. That way you know what the answer is. What year did we pass the death penalty to try to get along with our, once again, federal government? What year was that? 1977. You're 1 for 3 now, or 0 for 2, however you want to say it. Today is day 12 of the proposed 20-day session. It is also the last day for third reading on bills in the House of Origin. So if any of you want to lay back a bill on third reading today, we all know what that means. Okay, we have a special guest this morning. Oh, Senator Hicks.
Can I lay back House Bill 1 through 20 or 120?
That motion or that request is out of order. However, I will take it under advisement. We have a special guest, Senator Barnard. Yes.
Mr. President, could I have privilege of the floor?
Absolutely.
Mr. President and members of the Senate, back in the gallery here, we have a collection of Eagle Scouts. They've come here to Cheyenne to see how the legislature works. They've met with the governor and given him his report. And I'd like to have you have them stand up and have you give them a warm welcome to the Senate.
You want further privilege there, Senator?
Yes, Mr. President. I'd like to present you a report from the Scouts. It's the same report that they gave to the governor. And I have two scouting dollars and a scouting pin. I'd like to present those to you, if you'd please let me.
Well, yes. I will please let you. Senator Hastert.
Thank you, Mr. President. May I have privilege?
Yes, sir, you may.
Members of the Senate, this perfectly dovetails in on our last introduction. Sitting on the back of the room is a constituent of mine from Green River, Bud Allen, and he's the senior district executive for the Trapper Trail Council, and that encompasses Sublette, Uinta, and Sweetwater counties. And he's here today with these scouts, and I'd like you to give him a warm welcome to the Senate.
Welcome to the Senate. And, you know, the other day we had as our guest Senator Enzi, who is an Eagle Scout, By the way, congratulations to all of you. What an undertaking, and appreciate what you do. How many others in the room are Eagle Scouts? Okay. Hey! Well, he's been carrying your load and doing a great job of it. That'd be that senator from Evanston. That's Mr. Majority Floor Leader. Go ahead.
So I'm not an Eagle Scout. I have a son who's an Eagle Scout, and I've done penance by being a scout, an adult scout leader for about 30 plus years now. So I don't know if I've earned my stripes yet or not, but I certainly paid my penance.
Well, yes, you have, Senator Perkins. And you continue to earn your stripes with good debate on certain bills. Thank you for that. Okay, now, anything else? Senator Wasserberger.
Mr. President, may I have privilege of the floor?
You may.
You know, Mr. President, many years ago, I was a building principal at Twin Spruce Junior High. And I was a lot thinner then, but I was asked at our annual Christmas party to be Santa Claus. And I was a particularly pathetic Santa Claus, but I had a great big, huge pillow in my tummy. And... I hate
is it still there?
Everybody came up and sat in my lap and asked, you know, what they wanted for Christmas. Sometimes you do really goofy things, Mr. President. But one of the things that I did was I held this little girl in my arms and took pictures of it with her mom. Her mom was a former student of mine. And then I hired her to be a special education teacher at Twin Spruce Junior High. So I'd like to introduce to the body the very beautiful baby, Maria Schwartz from Gillette. And she actually lives in Michael's, Senator Von Fladern's district, just a few blocks from his house. So Maria is down here, and she's trying to make sure that I vote correctly on the University of Wyoming.
Well, welcome to the Senate, and you have a undertaking there to be sure to keep an eye on our good colleague from Campbell County. I've been trying to do it for 20 years, and I haven't made much progress, but I'm not giving up. Okay, we have the special deal today, Teacher of the Year. What a neat thing for our state and for this particular individual. We're going to have the privilege of welcoming Wyoming 2018 Teacher of the Year. It is Sarah Reed. He's an outstanding kindergarten teacher at Hillcrest Elementary School in Gillette. She has taught kindergarten for 13 years, supported some of our most at-risk students. Sarah makes it her priority to ensure every one of her students' needs are met daily through creating a classroom rich in movement, collaboration, and independence. Senator Wasserberger, would you like to add anything to that?
Yes, Mr. President. And here we go again. This Sarah Reed is actually a Mankin, and she grew up on the Mankin Ranch. And the Mankin Ranch, many of you have driven Highway 50, you drive right down the middle of it. So you get about 20 miles southwest of Gillette, there's a great big huge white barn just off the road. And on the east side of the road is an old sheep herder's wagon that's been refurbished with the 4J brand on it. So one of our famous streets in Gillette is 4J Road. And then, of course, we have 4J School, and of course, the Mankins have been phenomenal rodeo athletes. Her sister, Mandy, I believe, won the breakaway roping at the National High School Finals, and her sister, Julie, which was a student of mine, I think she was second in the barrels, if that's correct. But anyway, Sarah has been teaching at Hillcrest Elementary for 12 years. She has, this is year 13 for her, and an outstanding teacher. She's a Panther, and of course, she's also been chosen as the Peabody Leader in Education Award, which was a $1,000 cash award. She's done many great things in our school district, and would just like to welcome Sarah Reed to the Senate and give her the opportunity to make a short speech to us. And so, Sarah...
Sarah, welcome.
2018.
Congratulations.
Of the year.
Come on up.
Thank Thank you, Mr. President, for the opportunity to be here today. It's quite an experience. I feel very out of my realm with you all. I'm here on behalf of all of the amazing educators and students who have taught me so much over the last 13 years. I'm also here as the voice for Wyoming teachers and students. One thing I've learned as an educator is that the words we speak have the ability to empower or destroy futures for our students. So a month ago, I got to go to California and meet with the other 55 state teachers of the year. One thing that was extremely evident was that Wyoming is the best state in the nation to be a teacher, to live in, and to have my own kids educated in. And I believe that that's because you all have put such a focus on funding education. The other states have struggles that are limitless that they cannot overcome. And so thank you to all of you for your focus on funding education. It's very important. Thanks.
House bill on first reading. House Bill 6, first reading of the House bill.
House Bill 106, Municipal Court Authority Conditional Suspension of Fines, sponsored by Representative Crank, passed the House, ayes 58, excuse 2.
House Bill 106, referred to Committee Number 1, Judiciary. House Bill 100, first reading of the House bill.
House Bill 100, State Emergency Response Commission Membership, sponsored by Representative Salazar, passed the House, ayes 58, excuse 2.
House Bill 100, referred to Committee Number 3, Revenue. House Bill 99, first reading of the House bill.
House Bill 99, Prescription and Possession of FDA-Approved Drugs, sponsored by Representative Barlow, passed the House, ayes 58, excuse 2.
House Bill 99, referred to Committee Number 10, Labor. House Bill 69, first reading of the House bill.
House Bill 69, Impersonation Through Electronic Means, Spoofing, sponsored by Representative Steinmetz, passed the House, ayes 58, excuse 2.
House Bill 69, referred to Committee Number 1, Judiciary. House Bill 61, first reading of the House bill.
House Bill 61, Roadside Waiver of Property Rights Prohibited, sponsored by Representative Pelkey. Passed the House, ayes 57, no 1, excuse 2.
House Bill 61, referred to Committee Number 1, Judiciary. Just a second, let me see that. Yeah. House Bill 58, first reading of the House bill.
House Bill 58, Game Animal Licenses Limitations, sponsored by Representative Haley, passed the House, ayes 52, no 6, excuse 2.
House Bill 58, referred to Committee Number 6, Travel. House Bill 33, first reading of the House bill.
House Bill 33, School Finance Capital Construction Amendments, sponsored by the School Facilities Committee, passed the House, ayes 50, no 8, excuse 2.
House Bill 33, referred to Committee Number 2, Appropriations. House Bill 31, first reading of the House bill.
House Bill 31, Hathaway Scholarship Application Deadline Extension, sponsored by Representative Henderson. Passed the House, ayes 32, noes 26, excuse 2.
House Bill 31, referred to Committee Number 4, Education. House Bill 3, first reading of the House bill.
House Bill 3, County Clerk Map Recording Fees Conforming Amendment, sponsored by Representative Paxton. Passed the House, ayes 56, noes 2, excused 2.
House Bill 3, referred to Committee Number 7, Corporations, House Bill 77. First reading of the House Bill.
House Bill 77, In-Stream Flow Consultant, sponsored by the Water Committee. Passed the House, ayes 58, noes 2.
House Bill 77, will be referred to Committee Number 5, Agriculture. House Bill 66, first reading of the House Bill.
House Bill 66, Purchase of Water Rights and Facilities, sponsored by the Water Committee. Passed the House, ayes 58, excused 2.
House Bill 66, referred to Committee Number 5, Agriculture. House Bill 146, first reading of the House Bill.
House Bill 146, Equal Pay Penalties, sponsored by Representative Connolly. Passed the House, ayes 56, noes 2, excused 2.
House Bill 146, referred to Committee Number 10, Labor. House Bill 141, first reading of the House Bill.
House Bill 141, Concealed Weapons in Places of Worship, sponsored by Representative Laux. Passed the House, ayes 56, noes 2, excused 2.
House Bill 141, referred to Committee Number 5, Agriculture. House Bill 125, first reading of the House Bill.
House Bill 125, Wyoming Lottery Revenues, sponsored by Representative Obermueller. Passed the House, ayes 52, noes 6, excused 2.
House Bill 125, referred to Committee Number 3, Revenue. House Bill 119, first reading of the House Bill.
House Bill 119, Genetic Information Privacy, sponsored by Representative Olson. Passed the House, ayes 58, excused 2.
House Bill 119, referred to Committee Number 1, Judiciary. House Bill 103, first reading of the House Bill.
House Bill 103, Engrossed, Wyoming Legal Tender Act, sponsored by Representative Edwards. Passed the House, ayes 44, noes 14, excused 2.
House Bill 103, referred to Committee Number 9, Minerals. House Bill 41, first reading of the House Bill.
House Bill 41, Engrossed, Hemp Extract Revisions, sponsored by Representative Miller. Passed the House, ayes 57, no 1, excused 2.
House Bill 41, referred to Committee Number 1, Judiciary. House Bill 93, first reading of the House Bill.
House Bill 93, Engrossed, Speeding Fines Amendments 2, sponsored by Representative Winters. Passed the House, ayes 54, noes 4, excused 2.
House Bill 93, referred to Committee Number 8, Transportation. House Bill 152, first reading of the House Bill.
House Bill 152, Engrossed, Wind Energy Equipment Storage, sponsored by Representative Harshman. Passed the House, ayes 53, noes 5, excused 2.
House Bill 152, referred to Committee Number 9, Minerals. House Bill 191, first reading of the House Bill.
House Bill 191, Engrossed, Termination of Parental Rights, Child Support Obligations, sponsored by Representative Northrup. Passed the House, ayes 58, excused 2.
House Bill 191, referred to Committee Number 1, Judiciary. House Bill 8, House Joint Resolution 8, first reading of the House Joint Resolution.
House Joint Resolution 8, Engrossed, 150th Anniversary of the 1868 Treaty of Fort Bridger, sponsored by Representative Allen. Passed the House, ayes 58, excused 2.
House Joint Resolution 8 will refer to Committee Number 6, Travel. House Bill 2, first reading of the House Bill.
House Bill 2, Engrossed, Election Law Violations, Penalties, and Enforcement, sponsored by the Corporation Committee. Passed the House, ayes 58, excused 2.
House Bill 2, referred to Committee Number 7, Corporations. House Bill 10, first reading of the House Bill.
House Bill 10, Engrossed, Workers' Compensation, Extraterritorial Reciprocity, sponsored by the Joint Labor Committee. Passed the House, ayes 58, excused 2.
House Bill 10, referred to Committee Number 10, Labor. House Bill 18, first reading of the House Bill.
House Bill 18, Engrossed, Non-Resident Employer Bonding, sponsored by the Labor Committee. Passed the House, ayes 56, noes 2, excused 2.
House Bill 18, referred to Committee Number 10, Labor. House Bill 32.
House Bill 32, Engrossed, School Finance Major Maintenance Formula, sponsored by the School Facilities Committee. Passed the House, ayes 48, noes 10, excused 2.
House Bill 32, referred to Committee Number 2, appropriations. Members of the Senate, particularly the chairman of all of our standing committees, we're putting these bills out. We got a bunch of them yesterday. I'm trying to get them out, those that I like, as soon as I can. And, you know, if we need to adjust because of your workload, just work with your fellow committee chairs and run them by Senator Perkins, and we'll try to accommodate. We want to be sure and give an ample hearing to all these good House bills that they've sent us over. Reports from standing committees.
February 27, 2018. Mr. President, your committee number 2, Appropriations, to whom was referred House Bill 110, Wyoming Retirement Plans Member Accounts, respectfully reports same back to the Senate with a recommendation that it do pass. I, Senators Burns, Dockstader, Driscoll, Hastert, and Landon, Senator Burns, Chairman. February 28, 2018, Mr. President, your committee number 10, to whom was referred House Bill 9, engrossed, obsolete reporting, Department of Workforce Services, respectfully reports same back to the Senate with a recommendation that it do pass. I, Senators Baldwin, Boner, Bouchard, Peterson, and Scott, Senator Scott, Chairman. Mr. President, your committee number 2, Appropriations, has reviewed House Bill number 1 pursuant to Joint Rule 14-1E. The following lists are provided. Dispensing with further reading, Senator Burns, Chairman.
In accordance with Joint Rule 14-1F, House Bill 1 is referred directly to third reading. Mr. Majority Floor Leader, I believe we're at that order of business. Do we have a consent list for bills on third reading?
We do. You know, I was thinking we were going to do second reading, but I guess we didn't make it through Committee of the Whole yesterday. So, Mr. President,
oh,
yes, we do have a consent list. Mr. President, I move the third reading consent list as follows. Uh-oh, it's the wrong consent list.
Starts with Senate File 87.
What? The considering consent list is as follows. Senate File 87, Hathaway Scholarship Eligibility. Senate File 92, Electronic Logging Devices Enforcement. Senate File 98, Severance Tax Exemption. Senate File 102, National Teaching Certification. Senate File 105, Drug Donation Program Act Expansion. Senate File 117, School Finance Amendments 3. Senate Joint Resolution 5, promoting individual choice in health care.
Does anyone want any of these Senate files removed from the consent list? Senator Case.
Mr. President, thank you very much. Senate File 98, please.
Okay, any others removed from the consent list? Senator Scott.
Senate File 92, please.
Okay, any others? Okay. Having read three separate times, the question is, shall these bills pass the Senate? Senate File 87, Hathaway Scholarship Eligibility. Senate File 102, National Teaching Certification. Senate File 105, Drug Donation Program Act Expansion. Senate File 117, School Finance Amendments 3, and Senate Joint Resolution 5, promoting individual choice in health care. Chief Clerk, please call the roll.
On the consent list, Agar?
Aye.
Anderson?
Aye.
Anselmi Dalton?
Aye.
Baldwin?
Aye.
Barnard?
Aye.
Boner?
Aye.
Bouchard?
Aye.
Burns?
Aye.
Case?
Aye.
Christensen?
Aye.
Coe?
Aye.
Dockstader?
Aye.
Driscoll?
Aye.
Ellis?
Aye.
Emmerich?
Aye.
Hastert?
Aye.
Hicks?
Aye.
Kinski?
Aye.
Landon?
Aye.
Meyer?
Aye.
Moniz?
Aye.
Nethercott? Pappas?
Aye.
Perkins?
Aye.
Peterson?
Aye.
Rothfuss?
Aye.
Scott?
Aye.
Bonflater?
Aye.
Wasserberger?
Aye.
President Bebout?
Aye.
On the consent list, 30 aye. Senate File 87, are there any changes? Scott? Scott, I to no. Von Plater, no.
Rothfuss, no.
Barnard, no. Rothfuss, I to no. And Sonley Dalton, aye to no. Burns? Burns, aye to no. Closing vote? Landon, aye to no. Closing vote? Closing vote closed. Senate file 87, 23 aye, 7 no. Senate file 102, are there any changes? Closing vote? Closing vote closed. Senate file 102, 30 aye. Senate file 105, are there any changes? Closing vote? Closing vote closed. Senate file 105, 30 aye. Senate file 117, are there any changes? Wasserberger, aye to no. Closing vote. Closing vote closed. Senate file 117, 29 aye, 1 no. Senate Joint Resolution 5, are there any changes? Closing vote. Closing vote closed. Senate Joint Resolution 5, 30 aye.
Having received the affirmative vote of the majority of the members elected of the Senate, Senate File 87, Hathaway Scholarship Eligibilities, Senate File 102, National Teaching Certification, Senate File 105, Drug Donation Program Act Expansion, Senate File 117, School Finance Amendments 3, and Senate Joint Resolution 5, Promoting Individual Choice in Health Care, have passed the Senate. Senate File 92, oh, excuse me, no, no, not 92. Senate File 23, third reading of the Senate file.
Senate File 23, Possession of Non-Plant Form Marijuana, sponsored by the Judiciary Committee, an act relating to controlled substances.
Okay, we do have an amendment. Third reading amendment number one. Reading clerk, please read that in.
Senate File 23, third reading amendment number one, page one, line eight.
Senator Case.
Thank you very much, Mr. President. I would move third reading amendment number one to Senate File 23. Mr. President, what this bill, what this amendment would do is to allow for a defendant that's charged under one of the sections created in this bill to offer a defense that the amount of active ingredients, I can't say it, but you all know what I'm talking about. It's a THC in marijuana. That the amount in the product is no greater than the amount that is a misdemeanor amount under the plant form of marijuana. And to do this, Mr. President, I had to make a little bit of a compromise. Our staff was researching marijuana potency, as a matter of fact, Mr. Chairman, Mr. President, and it turns out it is newer forms of marijuana are high and that's a poor word to use in this case, isn't it? Newer forms of marijuana
have
a high amount of THC, Mr. President. And so this is chosen to have the 13 grams that is kind of in the mid-range, I understand, Mr. President, and it goes up way into the 20s and upper. So this, what all this allows is for a defendant at their own cost to make an affirmative defense that the amount that's in the liquid or the resin or the whatever is no more than is ordinarily contained in 3 ounces of plant form. So that the fact that it's that we're charging them as a liquid is they can at least offer the defense that the amount in the liquid that would meet the felony statutes is a misdemeanor under the plant side, and they're allowed to make that defense. I ask for your favorable consideration.
Further discussion, Senator Christensen.
Mr. President, on and against the amendment, over the last 3 years, as interim topics, the Judiciary Committee, your Judiciary Committee, has invited scientists, lab different people from different labs to come in, doctors, professionals from our crime lab, and researchers from around the country to come in and talk about this. This gets down to the issue of being able to accurately measure, with today's technology, THC in its various forms of edibles. And what we've heard, there are many labs around the nation that will offer a measurement. However, those labs don't rise to the level of legal, of the legal standard of consistency. And there's some different reasons for this. It has to do with the way it's changed when it's processed. But the challenge here is that once it's changed, cooked, strained, whatever you name it, converted, there's not been an accurate standard that meets the legal definition that holds up in court. And so while you may hear that there are labs all over that can do this, they're not meeting the legal standard. And so even though we put that, this would put that on the defendant's back, the court is then faced with trying to evaluate, does it really have any standard at all? I suggest this might be a red herring, and let's not vote for this amendment.
Further discussion? Senator Case, for your second time.
So, Mr. President, there's one thing that we're missing here. We're talking about products that are probably bought in another state and brought here. Those products, many of them are actually labeled for consumption. They say what the amount is. They're regulated in those states to say that. So if a defendant can show that that quantity, based on the label and based on other circumstances perhaps, is no less than the average amount in 3 ounces of plant form, which is specified at being 13 grams of THC. All that is their defense. Why wouldn't we allow someone to do that? It's at the defendant's cost, Mr. President. It's common sense. I hope the Senate will join me in supporting this amendment.
Okay, wait a minute. Senator Christian, you know, you've already spoken. He spoke for a second time. You have something really important to add to this?
Mr. President.
Otherwise, if I'm going to really add, or go ahead. You have privilege of the floor to explain what you want to talk about.
Thank you, Mr. President. Those products and those rent measurements are not scientifically proven. They have a wide range of accuracy, and that has been proven.
Senator Case, I'll give you a further chance to respond to that if you want. Senator Scott.
Mr. President, yeas and nays, please.
Okay, the yeas and nays have been called for. Senator Case, do you wish to respond? I'll have the latitude to give you that third shot. Go ahead.
I will yield.
Senator Office.
Thank you, Mr. President. Mr. President, they are scientifically accurate. This is technology that's been around for 50 or 60 years. This is liquid chromatography or gas chromatography, depending on how you want to treat the samples. It's as accurate as you want it to be, but the key is it's as accurate as you can afford to have it be. The market is not there yet, and therefore it'll end up being expensive because there aren't a lot of people who are doing it, particularly people who can actually do a chain of custody. This is undergraduate chemistry grade difficulty. This is not something that would be a challenge. Unless you have a large amount, you need to break it down into pieces, do a lot of tests, come up with an aggregate amount over the sample. So from a scientific standpoint, honestly, it's not even challenging. But the reason that nobody's doing it is because there's no market for it, and therefore it's expensive. This amendment simply says, all right, it's expensive. Let's put the onus on the defendant to go out and pay for the research to be done, and you'll find somebody who can do it. And then perhaps there'll be a market, perhaps those prices will go down. But the idea that we can't do this when, for example, we can tell the concentration of certain gases in a star 100 million light years away, it's absurd. We've had this technology readily available in labs in high schools across the country for decades. So I hope the Senate, when you reflect on this, will not think this is even challenging. It's just challenging to get it at a low cost. and we want it at a low cost. Thank you, Mr. President.
Okay. Senator Burns.
Mr. President, since the sponsor has waived on and for the amendment, I've spent a lot of the interim, well, not a lot, but I was down in Colorado a number of times, and I've spoken a number of times on this bill, and while I was down there, was asking about the labs and about the science and so forth. And the dodge on saying that you can't get it accurately done is because the ATF will not put out the baseline. So therefore, they say that because you don't have the federal government baseline, you cannot accurately do it. That's not true. In fact, the science is moving along, and the technology is moving along quickly. One of the problems they were having, for instance, up until I think it was about a year and a half ago, was trying to figure out how much THC was in a piece of candy. Well, the sugar kept gumming up the machines. They've found a way around that, and it's by freezing it first and then figuring it out. The technology is there to figure it out, and if you look at the laws of the vast majority of other states, it's set on the THC level, not on the amount that the THC is in, not in the entire cake and not in the entire brownie. Now, I'd also like to remind the body, what we're talking about here is a felony. You're already putting the person in for the hassle of their life by charging them with a misdemeanor. If you charge them with a felony, and we're talking about brownies here or cakes, this is something that's going to go with them for the rest of their life if they got this felony back when they're 18 or something because they had a THC brownie. Is that something we want to put on people for the rest of their lives? I think that that's where this amendment actually makes the most sense. And the other pitch I'll give you is, as chairman of JAC, our prisons are full. We don't have the money to house dumb students and cancer patients. And it doesn't make any sense to do it. On and for this amendment.
Okay, we're gonna vote. The A's and A's have been called for. We're voting on third reading amendment number one to Senate File 23. Chief Clerk, please call the roll.
Agar?
No.
No. Anderson?
No.
No. Anselmi Dalton?
Aye.
Aye. Baldwin?
Aye.
Aye. Barnard?
No.
No. Boner?
No.
No. Bouchard?
Aye.
Aye. Burns?
Aye.
Aye. Case?
Aye.
Aye. Christensen?
No.
No. Coe?
No.
No. Dockstetter?
No.
No. Driscoll?
No.
No. Ellis?
Aye.
Aye. Emmerich?
Aye.
Hastert?
Aye.
Aye. Hicks?
No.
No. Kinski?
No.
No. Landon?
No.
No. Meyer?
Aye.
Aye. Moniz?
No.
No. Nethercott? No. Pappas?
Aye.
Aye. Perkins?
No.
No. Peterson?
No.
No. Rothfuss?
Aye.
Aye. Scott?
Aye.
Aye. Von Platern?
Aye.
Aye. Wasserberger? No. President Bebout?
No.
No. Closing vote? Closing vote closed. 13 aye, 17 no.
Third reading amendment number one to Senate File 23 has failed. Senate File 23, having read three separate... No, wait a minute. Having read three separate times, the question shall Senate File 23 pass the Senate. Chief Clerk, please call the roll.
Agar?
Aye.
Aye. Anderson?
Aye.
Aye. Anselmi Dalton?
No.
No. Baldwin?
No.
No. Barnard?
No.
No. Boner?
Aye.
Aye. Bouchard?
No.
No. Burns?
No.
No. Case?
No.
No. Christensen?
Aye.
Aye. Coe?
Aye.
Aye. Dockstetter?
Aye.
Aye. Driscoll?
Aye.
Aye. Ellis?
Aye.
Aye. Emmerich?
No.
Hastert?
No.
No. Hicks?
Aye.
Aye. Kinski?
Aye.
Aye. Landon?
Aye.
Aye. Meyer?
Aye.
Moniz?
Aye.
Aye. Nethercott?
Aye.
Pappas?
No.
No. Perkins?
Aye.
Aye. Peterson?
Aye.
Rothfuss?
No.
No. Scott?
Aye.
Aye. Von Platern?
No.
No. Wasserberger?
Aye.
Aye. President Bebout?
Aye.
Aye. Closing vote? Closing vote closed. Senate File 23, 19 aye, 11 no.
Having received the affirmative vote of the majority of the members elected of the Senate, Senate File 23 has passed the Senate. Senate File 71, third reading of the Senate file.
Senate File 71, Stand Your Ground, sponsored by Senator Bouchard, an act relating to crimes and civil liability.
Okay, we have a couple of amendments. Would the reading clerk please read in the first third reading amendment?
Senate File 71, third reading amendment number 1, page 5, after line 5.
Senator Meyer.
Thank you, Mr. President. Mr. President, I move third reading amendment number 1 to Senate File 71, ask for the body's favorable consideration. Mic on, Mr. President?
Yes, it is.
Okay. I'll get a little closer then. What we do here is go into the issue, Mr. President, that is contained in the jury instructions, but wasn't necessarily contained in the fine work that the majority floor leader did in his amendment, and continues on and adds in the wording in the jury instructions that tags on to the language that the majority floor leader put in previously. And simply it says, as used in this subsection, necessary to prevent includes a necessity that arises out of an honest belief that the danger exists, whether the danger is real or apparent. Essentially, that's the more or less the language that's in the jury instructions, and really has to go to the intent of what the current law is. And I ask for your favorable consideration.
Further discussion? Senator Nethercott.
Thank you, Mr. President. Bringers of the amendment, just a question about how one would prove an honest belief without putting the defendant on the stand, subjecting him to either direct or cross-examination without resulting in a guilty verdict. So how does one prove honest belief without the defendant testifying under oath in violation of the Fifth Amendment?
Further discussion. Further discussion before the sponsor speaks for a second time. Senator Perkins.
Thank you. And I think, you know, that's a very good question. It's the issue that you have as you work through the criminal immunity that keeps popping up in this case is how does that happen without the right to incriminate himself? As you've got the bill in, and this is my simple answer, and I will defer. I mean, the good senator from Cheyenne that just spoke, she's a former prosecutor, and so she would certainly have did some prosecution, if I recall correctly, and if I'm calling correctly, she could correct me. But I think really what it is you know, these are affirmative defenses, and you know the obligation on affirmative defense is you have to prove the affirmative defense, and so I think that's part of it. You, as you look at the situation during the, but anyway, that's part of the jury instruction, so I don't know that it harms anything. It comes on the back of subparagraph A in the bill as amended, which talks about the use of defensive force is reasonable when it is defensive force as reasonable that a reasonable person in like circumstances would judge necessary to prevent an injury or loss, and no more, including deadly force if necessary to prevent imminent death or serious bodily injury to the person employing the deadly force or to another person. And then right behind that comes this new sentence. And so we're going down that road towards potentially requiring someone to incriminate themselves, but there has to be some procedure or some way that if you're going to avail yourself of these things, as you take advantage of these immunities. And there's not an immunity in this bill, but this does provide some some ability to recognize that even a reasonable person may be wrong under certain circumstances. They may have, and so as long as the reasonable person had that honest belief, then it would work. But it does start to pull us back towards the issues with respect that we'll struggle with on criminal immunity. Thank you, Mr. President.
Senator Nethercott, for your second time.
Thank you, Mr. President. On and against the amendment, my fellow senators, juries or judges cannot make decisions without actual facts and evidence. So the determination that someone had an honest belief could not be made, I cannot imagine, without it being hearsay evidence or speculation or inference, which is not how decisions are made, is not a fact and evidence, without the defendant actually being required to testify, which would certainly be foolhardy. On and against the amendment.
Okay, anybody else before the sponsor speaks for a second time? Anybody else? Senator Meyer, second time.
Thank you, Mr. President. I think that in all likelihood that there's there's actually an investigation that goes on by the officers that arrive at the scene, and they make a kind of a preliminary investigation, and within 72 hours there's a determination about whether somebody should be charged or not. And I think in that preliminary investigation, that information would go to the folks that are going to, you know, either prepare the charges or not prepare the charges. And so that's probably the area that in that preliminary phase would be the area where this would you would hope to get some idea as to whether or not what the circumstances were in that incident. And that's essentially just trying to figure out what the truth is, trying to get enough facts to make a determination as to whether there should or shouldn't be a charge. And I think this is where the affirmative defense actually comes into play, as well as further down the line. And of course, everybody has the right not to use that affirmative defense and not testify. You know, that's our Fifth Amendment, the right of not self-incrimination. So it doesn't go into that and one way or the other and prohibit that constitutional protection.
Okay, excuse me, we're voting on third reading amendment number one to Senate File 71. All in favor say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed, no?
No.
That amendment has passed. Third reading amendment number two. Reading clerk, please read in that amendment.
Senate File 71, third reading amendment number two, page 5 after line 5.
Senator Scott.
Mr. President, I move adoption of this amendment. Mr. President, the amendment has two elements. One is the very first piece of it where we're inserting, after use of offensive force, the language, whether actual or threatened. It's quite clear, as the bill stands right now, that the actual use of it is governed by the provisions, the self-defense provisions in the laws. It would be if the bill is enacted. You'd think that would cover the threat, too, but I don't know about the rest of you, but I've encountered enough people in my lifetime who can be very literal-minded about things, and are capable of saying, well, it'd be all right if you'd have shot him, but since you just threatened to, that's not all right, and we're going to prosecute you. This puts a stop to that particular piece of foolishness. That's what that's about. The more important part is the new subsection F we're inserting here, that a person who uses the reasonable defensive forces, as it's defined in the subsection A, which we passed yesterday in the Perkins Amendment, shall not be criminally prosecuted. Well, that would be the law. You put this in there as a declaration, really as guidance to the prosecutors, the arresting officers, and in particular, make it easier for someone who is accused unjustly, and that will happen as long as prosecutors are human. And the nature of things, that will occasionally happen. And we had a case cited before where it took 3 years to get it properly resolved, and the party that was eventually found innocent spent those three years and put part of it in prison. So it does happen. This is designed to make it easier to get that sort of thing stopped early, probably most likely to come in play where you've got a preliminary hearing where they're bound over to district court for trial. And if the prosecutor isn't alleging the proper elements, and even if he proves everything that he could prove, the guy's still not guilty. That's where this would really come into play. So I would urge the Senate to adopt this amendment. It doesn't, in my judgment, change the substantive law at all, but it does make it easier for someone who is innocent under our law to get off.
Further discussion? Senator Perkins?
Thank you. Mr. Chairman, regrettably, I wish to divide the amendment.
Okay, what's your proposal?
I think Division 1 would be lines 1 through 5. And then Division 2 is the remainder of the amendment.
Okay, that is divisible. Do you wish to speak to Division number 1?
Yes, please.
Okay, Senator Perkins, go ahead.
So, Mr. Chairman, the reason I do this is the way that the amendment would work, as I read this, is so that in the bill as amended yesterday, it insert this. It would be in the new subsection A, and so with the amendment to read the use of defensive force, whether actual or threatened, is reasonable when it is the defensive force that a reasonable person in like circumstances would judge necessary. And I'm not understanding the use of threatening defensive force or actually using defensive force. I'm struggling with how that works. Initially, when I read this, I was thinking it was defensive force to counter a deadly force, whether or other an offensive force, whether the offensive force was real or was actual or threatened. That would make a lot of sense to me. But I'm struggling with understanding how whether the threatening to use defensive force or the actual use of defensive force, if that's what's really intended. I'm not quite understanding that.
Okay. Senator Scott, it's your amendment. Go ahead on Division 1 if you'd like to speak to that.
Well, Mr. Chairman, Mr. President, it seems to me that the way we've got it worded, it's quite clear under these circumstances that if you meet these tests, the actual use of the defensive force is legal, and that what we're doing here is simply saying, okay, if it is legal to use the force, if instead of shooting the guy, the person who's trying to defend says, back off, mister, I've got a gun, that's a threat. But that ought to be allowed too in these circumstances. It's a milder way of dealing with the circumstance, and I think something we ought to encourage. Now, maybe there's something in here that I don't understand. Mr. President, I have some trepidation about arguing with real lawyers. But
a real lawyer.
But that's what we're trying to achieve, and I think it does achieve that.
Okay, Senator Burchard. For your first time, go ahead.
Thank you, Mr. President. There was a case here in Laramie County where a young man was up against a guy with a crowbar, and he had his wife with him, and he basically took his firearm and said, hey, this isn't going to happen. He gets his wife in the car. He drives away. He calls the police. However, during all that time, The person with a crowbar called the police first. And so it tends to be one of these who calls 911 first. In the end, if you just have a weapon and you suggest that you would use it, there are other statutes in honor books that person can be charged, and that's exactly what happened in this case. And the young man was actually pushed into a deferred felony, which was actually better than a felony, but it was over threat of we're going to charge you with a felony, and all he was doing was using his firearm as a threat, and he de-escalated the situation. He did the right thing, and we punish those people, And I believe that this amendment solves that problem. That just says that I can use the threat of force, not pull the trigger, and possibly have a defense and not be charged. Thank you.
Further discussion on Division 1. Further discussion. Okay, we're voting on third reading amendment number 2, Division 1, which is line 1 through 5. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no. Division 1 has passed. Division number 2 being line 7 through 19. Further discussion. Further discussion. All in favor of Division 2 being line 7 through 19 as second reading, third reading amendment number 2, say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no. Third reading amendment number 2 has passed. Senate file 71, having read three separate times, the question is, shall the Senate file pass? Chief Clerk, please call the roll.
Agar?
Aye.
Aye. Anderson?
No.
No. Anselmi Dalton? No. Baldwin? Aye. Barnard?
Aye.
Aye. Boner?
Aye.
Aye. Bouchard?
Aye.
Aye. Burns?
No.
No. Case?
Aye.
Aye. Christensen?
Aye.
Aye. Coe?
Aye.
Dockstetter?
Aye.
Aye. Driscoll?
Aye.
Aye. Ellis?
Aye.
Aye. Emmerich?
No.
No. Hastert?
No.
Hicks?
Aye.
Aye. Kinski?
Aye.
Aye. Landon?
Aye.
Aye. Meyer?
Aye.
Moniz?
Aye.
Aye. Nethercott? Aye. Pappas?
Aye.
Perkins?
Aye.
Aye. Peterson?
Aye.
Aye. Rothfuss?
No.
No. Scott?
Aye.
Aye. Von Fladern?
No.
No. Wasserberger?
Aye.
Aye. President Bebout?
Aye.
Aye. Closing vote. Closing vote closed. Senate file 71, 23 aye, 7 no.
Senate file 71, having referred affirmative vote of the majority of the members elected of the Senate, Senate file 71 has passed the Senate. Senate file 92, third reading of the Senate file.
Senate File 92, Electronic Logging Devices Enforcement, sponsored by Senator Agar, an act relating to commercial vehicles.
Senator Scott.
Mr. President, I ask this be removed from the consent list just to ask a question. I continue to hear both sides on this particular bill, that it's needed to allow some of our people to do things that they need to, and that it violates the federal law and is going to get us in trouble with the feds. And I will confess, Mr. President, to being quite confused and would like a little further explanation from the proponents and, if possible, from opponents so that I can cast a more informed vote.
Further discussion. Senator Meyer.
Thank you, Mr. President, and I thank the tall senator from Natrona County for pulling this off because I was going to do it had he not, because I sensed that confusion on the floor from the lobbyists from out in the hall and from other folks that have gotten in touch with folks. Essentially, this is from the FMCSA, and this is having to do with the ELDs or electronic logging devices. And that's what the whole big rub about is in this particular bill. And those different requirements from the federal government coming down on the small truckers in the state of Wyoming. Now, what we've done with the bill is to look at what these guys say and try to match or skirt just a little bit toward what we'd like to see in the state. And I can tell you what we did. That's just maybe a little bit over the line, but I don't think so much that we're actually going to get ourselves in trouble. If we do get ourselves in trouble, there's a possibility of losing safety dollars from the feds. Essentially, what we're looking at is in a couple of areas, basically what the rules say here is, in general, the rule applies to interstate drivers of commercial motor vehicles as defined in 49 CFR 390.5 who are currently required to keep records of duty status. That's the hours you drive. So essentially what we're trying to do is to allow some flexibility intrastate. And we've got some feelers out through the our highway department to define what the in general part is. Where's the specifics that are not in this situation, that they're not interstate? Because in general, they're interstate. We say they're intrastate, we're fine. We can run our trucks the way we want to with old paper log books and in that way. The other thing that currently that we have, we did that 150-mile radius last year. The department told us last night with a kind of a meeting between the sponsor and the trucking industry that's good to go. You can still deliver your goods at least until next March. So the game plan specifically on this bill, Mr. President, is to push it on down through the House, get that information back from the feds through the highway department, see if that, as this is going through the process, that we can actually get a longer term compromise or exemptions for essentially a frontier state. And so we're trying to keep this thing in the process. Basically told the trucking industry, if you guys want to do something with it down in the House, we want to make sure that we talk to the leadership down there as this is going through. And when we have a better understanding about what the feds might let us get by with, what we can have our Washington delegation propose. And after all, we've got the number four guy in the Republican Senate who chairs the Transportation Department. We think that with his work and the work in the of our good representative in Washington, that we can actually get something maybe that'll fit Wyoming. And so we're asking you to keep this bill alive and move it through the process, knowing full well that we got to communicate with the, excuse me, Mr. President, I did say that forbidden word, communicate with others in the process to make sure that we don't proverbially throw the baby out with the bathwater.
Further discussion. Senator Pappas.
Mr. Chairman, thank you, and I thank my colleague from Trona County for bringing this discussion back up. You know, I was confused as well, and what I did is I went out and visited with the federal agency that my good friend from Torrington mentioned. They're part of the U.S. Department of Transportation, and they happened to rent from me, so they're in my building, and I knew these people, these federal agents. So I went to one of the special agents and asked them about this because I was confused. And rightly so, the federal mandate requires enforcement of the use of electronic logging devices for both intrastate and interstate carriers. And he told me if Wyoming does not enforce the federal mandate on interstate carriers, funds for the federal grants for commercial safety could be jeopardized. And we're talking about Wyoming receives about $4 million in funds. And so when I spoke to him a couple of days ago, I asked him, well, why would anyone want to, push this issue? And he explained to me some things that happened with folks with rodeo folks being concerned with and some ag folks. And, however, he told me there are exclusions already. 150 air miles from the location of where that ag facility is excluded, is what he told me. And also 150 air miles from the location where you're trucking it to. And he also told me that there's another concern, too, that motor carrier safety scores are used by shippers that determine which carriers to use, and these insurance companies use them to determine coverage and cost of availability. And without inspections, Okay, if these trucks are not inspected to populate those programs, their ratings could be jeopardized as well. So, again, I was a little confused on it and had to go seek out that information. And it seems to me that we're putting our this law went into effect, he told me, or the law was required in 2015. And it had to be put in effect by December of 2018. And so they had there was quite a bit of time to do that. And some of the carriers went out and did it. And these devices are not inexpensive, but they had 3 years to comply. And so now carriers who are not complying, who didn't comply because they thought perhaps the administration, the new administration in Washington would roll back regulations, that's not happening. Because number one, it's not a regulation. It's law. Congress passed the law. And so these laws are in effect, and they don't look like they're going away. And so what it does do now is those who haven't complied, and if we're going to allow them to not comply, then they're really at a competitive disadvantage to those that have complied. So, frankly, I think I'm probably going to be one who will vote against this just because of those reasons. I think we need to comply. I think we could put $4 million at risk from the federal government and really negatively impact the carrier's ratings. Thank you, Mr. President.
Further discussion, Senator Anderson.
Mr. President, I too went home this weekend and talked to some truckers. I talked to some small truckers, have less than five trucks each. They were amazed that we were discussing it. As far as they were concerned, it was the law, and they've already complied. And they're going, you're a little too late because we've already done it. So we don't see what you're doing. I do see that we need to do something for the rodeo and horse fair people, but maybe that 150-mile radius thing takes care of that. Thank you, Mr. President.
Senator Agar.
Thank you, Mr. President. The issue isn't with how many miles you travel in a radius. The issue is what they have defined as competitive competition. So if you haul that horse any time in the year to a competition where you are competing for winnings, Mr. President, you immediately fall into that category of hauling for competition. So that could be one time in the year you haul to a competitive trail ride, or one time in the year you haul to a dressage competition. Immediately you're hauling for competition, and you fall into having to run the electronic logbook. Now, Mr. President, this bill came about to give these young athletes and these people that are small-time operators. You may haul a load of cattle to Torrington once a year. It came about to help those individuals. I certainly understand the worries about preemption that come from parts of the industry, but there's, quite honestly, Mr. President, no way to give those individuals protection without having that worry out there. So I guess a vote it up or vote it down situation, colleagues, and thank you.
Okay, further discussion. Further discussion. Okay, ready for the question. Senate file 92, having read three separate times, the question is, shall the Senate file pass? Chief Clerk, please call the roll.
Agar?
Aye.
Aye. Anderson?
No.
No. Anselmi Dalton?
No.
No. Baldwin?
Aye.
Aye. Barnard?
Aye.
Aye. Boner?
Aye.
Aye. Bouchard?
Aye.
Aye. Burns?
Aye.
Aye. Case?
Aye.
Aye. Christensen? No. Coe?
No.
No. Dockstader?
Aye.
Driscoll?
Aye.
Aye. Ellis?
No.
No. Emmerich?
No.
No. Hastert?
No.
No. Hicks?
Aye.
Aye. Kinski?
Aye.
Aye. Landon?
No.
No. Meyer?
Aye.
Aye. Moniz?
Aye.
Aye. Nethercott?
No.
No. Pappas?
No.
No. Perkins?
No.
No. Peterson?
Aye.
Aye. Rothfuss?
Aye.
Scott?
Aye.
Aye. Von Flader?
No.
No. Wasserberger?
Aye.
Aye. President Bebout?
Aye.
Aye. Closing vote. Closing. Vote closed. Senate File 92, 18 aye, 12 no.
Senate File 92, having received the affirmative vote of the majority of the members elected to the Senate, Senate File 92 has passed the Senate. Senate File 98, third reading of the Senate file. Senator Perkins.
Mr. President, may I approach the floor?
Yes, you may.
Mr. President, we have a very esteemed group here today with some special people in it. We've got with their teacher, Jill Severn, and is here with grade four from Prairie Wind, I believe. Is that correct? And I understand there's two very special people in here to some of our staff members. And so go ahead, Prairie Wind folks, and stand up. And, Mr. President, I understand that we have Sydney Goff, who is Ellen Thompson, our chief clerk. It's her granddaughter is there. So, Ellen, if you'll wave. Where's Ellen? Where's Ellen right there? And then I also understand that Belle Heinrich, who works in, who prepares very nutritious and yummy meals for us, her son, William Heinrich. William Heinrich is in the back there. And there's Belle back there, too, hanging out with her grandson. So if you'd welcome. I just also want to note, I think these are from Senator Nethercutt's district, aren't they? Is Prairie Wind in your district? And so that's your great senator right there. If you would wave, Sister. Senator Nethercutt. That's a Freudian slip. Anyway. So welcome, Prairie Wind.
Welcome to the Senate. It's so good to see you. And now we have two great senators in this chamber.
Yeah.
One from the Northwest and one from the Southeast.
Yeah.
Senate File 98, third reading of the Senate file.
Senate File 98, Severance Tax Exemption, sponsored by Senator Perkins, an act relating to mined product taxes.
Senator Chase.
Thank you very much, Mr. President, for pulling off Senate File 98. You know, this is a time of fiscal difficulties for the state of Wyoming. It's not the time to give a tax break that's unfounded from the studies that we've done before, Mr. President. It is not adequate to just look at the level of taxes levied by different states and say, well, this state, perhaps Oklahoma's here and somebody else is here. You really have to do a more detailed analysis. I appreciate in the budget amendment that we began to go down that road, but unless that's actually creating a structural model to see how firms will respond to changes in this tax level, we will never have the answer as to whether this tax will generate enough production to offset the losses or to have enough other economic activity that will fill in the gap. The data that we do have, which is a world-class study, granted it was it's a couple of decades old, Mr. President, but it's a world-class study. The conclusions still stand. I'm not persuaded by the horizontal drilling versus vertical drilling arguments. I don't see how they shake the basic conclusions of that study are that it wasn't worth it. And I'm even more persuaded that it's not worth it and that it will not yield net benefits to the state of Wyoming and will lose money is the fact that it's 2 years into the distance. Mr. Chairman, it's just a windfall for producers at that time. It's not affecting their producing or their decisions to drill at this moment because what they're drilling on is an estimate of the long-term price of oil more than anything, Mr. President. And if they don't believe that the price of oil is going to be up in 2 years, they're not going to drill. So, Mr. President, I urge us to defeat this bill.
Senator Perkins.
Thank you. On and against, on and for the bill, there's no amendment to be against. We've had this discussion. We've had this discussion the last couple of days, we'll just go back into that very briefly. Again, the difference is now, again, when that study was done, it was about proven reserves in geology. Now it's not so much about that. It's about when you drill these horizontally, you know where those zones are. You know where you're going. You know you're going to get oil. The question is, will the well be economic? And so the world has changed. And I also bring another, I also provided for you one other quick graph today out of a much larger report. This comes from, this is from a 2008 study. It's a white paper done by the Colorado Oil and Gas, Colorado Oil and Gas Industry. So it wasn't had to do with Wyoming. And I had a couple of excerpts from you. And what they did in this white paper, and you can find the white paper online and read the whole thing, but I just put a couple graphs in there for you that I think are very telling. If you look at this, I had this distributed out. What you've got in here is they took, and what they did to do this study, they went and they turned, what is the overall tax base? So look at the severance taxes, look at the income taxes, look at all these things, and find out what is the real tax liability. How does Colorado, in this case, if we're looking at Colorado, how does Colorado stack up against the other major energy producing states in the region? And they went back, and so they took a benchmark company, and they took it, and they took a benchmark company that made certain profits from oil. They did one for oil, they did one for gas, and they took them through the entire gamut, income taxes, property taxes, and so forth. And the results you find in the graphs that I've handed out, and if you look, you have from their study, they had if you look at the one graph, the rankings of total tax collections based on a benchmark oil firm. So those are collections from those oil firms. And then they showed the rankings of states by total tax collections based on a benchmark oil firm. And if you look at that, they go from lowest to highest, California being the lowest and Wyoming being the highest, and our nearest competitor geographically being Colorado, being two to the left from Wyoming on the right. If you turn the page and find to the back page, you do the same thing based on a benchmark gas firm. What was the results? The results were exactly the same because the severance tax is essentially the same. Not just the severance taxes, but the total tax burden. You look at that again, there's a little shifting there, but what didn't shift was Wyoming still is far and away the taxes, the oil and gas industry, heavier than any of its competitors. And you look at all the taxes together. That's property taxes, income taxes, severance taxes, property taxes, and so forth. So, again, you come back to this bill. When you look at it, you get two additional oil wells out of this, you more than break even. If we get two additional wells are drilled, you more than break even. I ask you to consider that, and to if is it the only thing that oil and gas companies consider when they know where to drill? Obviously not. What's the primary one? Price of oil or price of gas? Is it a factor? And the answer that from everything we've been able to that I brought in here the last couple of days and showed you from independent sources, not our local oil and gas industry, is it is a factor. Ask you to vote aye.
Yeah, Mr. Vice President, would you come up, please? Senator Hicks.
Mr. President, just a question, and this question arose in my mind yesterday, and then I think it's highlighted. So just a little discussion is how come natural gas production wasn't included with the tax reduction, given coming from an area that has a preponderance of natural gas, that's dry gas, that doesn't produce a lot? Wouldn't we get the same type of return if we would have granted this to the natural gas drillers, too, instead of just the oil drillers? So just... why do we just target oil?
Mr. President.
Yeah, thank you, Mr. Vice President. On and for the bill, members of the Senate, just to take yourself and remove yourself from being in the Senate for a second and think you're the board of directors of the state of Wyoming relative to what we do in terms of producing revenues for the future of our state. And so you're faced with a decision that you're going to make relative to an incentive bill like this. And you look at the different factors out there that will influence and affect your decision. And the first thing that you talk about is the horizontal wells are definitely different. And there's no question about that report that the university did in 2000, whatever, dealt with vertical wells. Horizontal wells are substantially more expensive. You know, you could spend anywhere from $4 to $6 million on a horizontal well, versus a dry hole, although it's a lot more expensive in Wyoming than other states, but you could spend anywhere from $300,000 to $1 million, $1.5 million for a dry hole. That's one deciding factor. What has happened, it's almost like an assembly line in terms of how we drill these horizontal wells. You know, it's not a matter if you're going to find oil. The majority floater was correct in that. It's how much in the production and the rate of decline. So when you look at that, you can see the potential is greater there in terms of a lot more cost up front, but your rate of return is huge on the front end of that well for the first 2 years. Then the next thing you think about is, well, what is the cost? And what am I going to get for my crude oil? Well, we have differentials in Wyoming that we don't have in other areas. And you look to the states to the south of us. So you talk about a differential that's out there potentially to cost you $2, $3, $4, $5 a barrel. But then you look at the tax structure of the state to the south of us. So are you going to spend your exploration dollars in Wyoming where we have arguably a much larger tax than we do to the state to the south? That's a factor. Okay, if I drill in the south and I'm a producer down there, sure, I have to pay an income tax, but you have to make money to pay an income tax. So I don't think that's a fair assessment. The next thing, excuse me, Mr. Vice President, the next thing you consider is what do you do with the fact that you have private lands down in Colorado versus federal lands? You add all these things up, and Wyoming has a very, very difficult time competing with our state to the south and other plays in this country. So what you do as a board of directors, you analyze this, and you look at the internal rate of return as a board of director, and you say, where should I spend my E&P dollars? Well, this helps you spend them in Wyoming. And I really believe that it will provide the incentive to get more drillers in Wyoming. I think our rig count will go up. As to the why is natural gas not involved in this issue, most of the gas in Wyoming is dry gas. We are getting some NGLs, and we're doing some different things, but right now it's dry gas, and there's not a lot of horizontal drilling going on in gas. Certainly, if this bill moves forward and we can see the results, which would be positive, we could sure consider that for natural gas, but that's one reason, and maybe the prime sponsor for his second time could speak to that again. So on and for the bill, I think it's a good idea for Wyoming. I would ask that you support the bill.
Senator Anderson.
Mr. Vice President, I have a comment and then a privilege of the floor, please. First comment is the senator from Papoji makes a good point that if they're not going to drill because of the price of oil and other factors, then this bill doesn't cost us a dime because they don't drill, they don't get the credit. So if, in fact, he's right, they're not going to drill because of other factors, then this is really doesn't cost the state of Wyoming anything. So it's a mute issue. And on the privilege of the floor, Mr.
Go ahead.
President, the doctor of the day is here now. He's from Casper. He's also the chairman of the county Republican Party, Dr. McGinley.
Dr. McGinley, welcome. Okay, back on the bill. Senator Scott.
Mr. President, this is a bill I've had trouble with deciding one way or the other ever since first exposed to it. And I do think that there is a risk here because there's a bunch of people, Mr. President, that will drill here. And they were going to drill anyhow. The incentive will cost the state revenue for those people. So there will be that risk. And I'm persuaded the economics of this are taxed as a small enough percentage of the total cost that it's going to have to be a very marginal well for the raw economics of the incentive are going to make a difference. The place, Mr. President, I'm having the difficulty is there's a more important, I'd call it a psychological aspect. You're going to drill, you're going to spend money now, your return's going to stretch over a number of years. You have to worry about what might happen to the tax climate in the future. On the, you know, we're clearly in trouble. We've got this big operating deficit we keep talking about. What are we going to do about it? If we give this incentive, we're telling the board of directors of those oil companies, okay, this place is a friendly place to do business. They think they can afford to give an incentive, probably a safe place to come. On the other hand, if the incentive costs us money, And, Mr. President, I'm somewhat convinced it will. And we don't take steps to get our deficit under control, then you've got to think, you're trying to make a decision, where are you going to place long-term producing facilities that are going to be taxed in the future? What's the state going to do to its tax rate in the future? Is there a severance tax increase in the future because they can't control the spending? And that may be a more important aspect of this bill and a much harder one to evaluate, Mr. President, than anything else. And I will confess to the Senate, as we call the roll, I'm going to be mentally flipping a nickel as to which way to come down on this one, because I can really see it cutting both ways. It may hurt our revenue, may force us to more taxes in the future. On the other hand, it may send a message, but I'm not quite sure which message it's going to send. So this is, Mr. President, a very difficult bill.
Senator Scott, I've got an 1890 silver dollar that celebrates the date that we became a state, and I'll be glad to give it to you to flip it.
Mr. President, I'm too cheap for that.
Okay, further discussion before the sponsor speaks for a second time. Further discussion. Senator Case, for your second time.
Mr. President, thank you very much. I want to be clear about this handout from that we got describing the situation in Colorado that's been referred to. I asked the question, I think these are just production taxes. I don't think this includes income tax, and I think that's the situation that's different in Wyoming than in all the states in our region. So I asked this, the question. I know it says total tax collections, but I've actually pulled up the entire study here. I'm willing to wager, but I want to give the sponsor the chance to contest me, that this is production taxes only.
Okay. You ready for the question?
Yes. You can speak. Right.
Senate File 98, having read three separate times, the question is, shall Senate File 98 pass the Senate? Chief Clerk, please call the roll.
Agar? Aye. Anderson?
Aye.
Anselmi Dalton?
No.
No. Baldwin?
No.
No. Barnard?
Aye.
Boner?
Aye.
Bouchard?
Aye.
Burns?
No.
No. Case?
No.
Christensen?
Aye.
Coe?
Aye.
Aye. Dockstetter?
Aye.
Aye. Driscoll?
No.
No. Ellis?
Aye.
Aye. Emmerich?
No.
No. Hastert?
No.
No. Hicks?
Aye.
Aye. Kinski?
Aye.
Aye. Landon?
Aye.
Aye. Meyer?
Aye.
Moniz?
No.
No. Nethercott? Aye. Pappas?
No.
No. Perkins?
Aye.
Aye. Peterson?
Aye.
Aye. Rothfuss?
No.
No. Scott?
No.
No. Von Fladern?
No.
No. Wasserberger?
Aye.
Aye. President Bebout?
Aye.
Aye. Closing vote?
Ellis, aye to no.
Closing vote? Closing vote. Closed. Senate File 98, 17 aye, 13 no.
Senate File 98, having received an affirmative vote of the majority of the members elected into the Senate, Senate File 98 has passed the Senate. Senate File 121, third reading of the Senate file.
Senate File 121, State-Funded Capital Construction 2, sponsored by the Appropriations Committee, an act relating to state-funded facilities.
We have several amendments. Third reading amendment number 1. Reading clerk, please read that one in.
Senate File 121, third reading amendment number 1, page 30, line 19.
Senator Burns.
Mr. President, I move third reading amendment number 1 to Senate File 121 and ask for favorable consideration. Mr. President, when we're going through this bill, the way it came out of the JAC included funding for the Cary Junior High, and a part of the myriad sources of funding was found on page 30, line 19. And there, that's where school capital construction money was pulled in the school capital construction fund of $4.2 million. And that had been done by a person down the hall whose name rhymes with ridiculous. And so if we're not doing carry, there's no point in pulling this out of the LISRA. In, it had been pulled out of the SIPA, and we changed it to pull out of the LISRA to put in the school CapCon account. What this amendment does is just leaves it in LISRA, where the legislature can do anything with it it wants.
Further discussion? Okay, we're voting on. Oh, Senator Ellis.
Just a point of personal privilege. I just think we need to be mindful of the young audience we have in the gallery and the language we use. Thank you, Mr. President.
So noted. Okay. Third reading, Amendment Number 1. Chief Clerk, please call the roll.
Agar?
Aye.
Anderson?
Aye.
Anselmi Dalton?
Aye.
Baldwin?
Aye.
Barnard?
Aye.
Boner?
Aye.
Bouchard?
Aye.
Burns?
Aye.
Aye. Case? Case?
Closed.
Christensen?
Aye.
Coe?
Aye.
Dockstetter?
Aye.
Driscoll?
Aye.
Ellis?
Aye.
Emmerich?
Aye.
Hastert?
Aye.
Hicks?
Aye.
Kinski?
Aye.
Landon?
Aye.
Meyer?
Aye.
Moniz?
Aye.
Nethercott?
Aye.
Pappas?
Aye.
Perkins?
Aye.
Peterson?
Aye.
Rothfuss?
Aye.
Scott?
Aye.
Von Platern?
Aye.
Wasserberger?
Aye.
Case?
No.
No? President Bebout?
Aye.
Aye. Closing vote. Closing vote closed. 29 aye, 1 no.
Third reading, Amendment Number 1 has passed. Third reading, Amendment Number 2. Reading clerk, please read that one in.
Senate File 121, Third Reading Amendment Number 2, page 17, line 17.
Senator Scott.
Mr. President, I move adoption of this amendment. Mr. President, what this amendment does is it goes into the yesterday's amendment on the science initiative at the university. And the way yesterday's amendment was worded, we were going to put up, reduced ours to $60 million we were going to put up, and the university has to come up $40 million, and the language was it had to come out of the reserves. Mr. President, what this does is allow other sources of funding as well as the reserves. Mr. President, I'm one that very much wants to see the science initiative go forward. I think it'll be good for the university. I think it'll be good for the state. And I think that's a good deal of the future of the state, is how well our university does on some of these science things. And I'm sorry we can't afford to just build the whole thing, but Mr. President, we can. With this amendment, the university would be able to go out and do some fundraising, try some other things to get enough money to actually get that science initiative done. I think that's well worthwhile. It'll make it easier for the university to actually accomplish it. And so I urge adoption of the amendment.
Further discussion? Absent any objection, there's no money involved in this. I'm not going to call for a roll call. All in favor of third reading amendment number 2, say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no. Third reading amendment number 2 is passed. Third reading amendment number 3. Reading clerk, please read that.
It was a good catch.
Senator Anderson.
Mr. President, privilege of floor.
Yes, sir, you may.
Please, Senate, help me to welcome my sister, Christy, and two of her 12 children, Taylor and Destiny, who are down here visiting this, and they're in the back gallery. Please stand up.
Please stand up. Welcome. Good to have you here. If that young man still wants to take a nap on my couch, it's available for you, if you want to do that. Third reading amendment number 3. Reading clerk, please read that one in.
Senate File 121, third reading amendment number 3. Delete the...
Senator Landon.
Mr. President, thank you. Yesterday we were... first of all, Mr. President, I better move this. Third reading amendment number 3 to Senate File 121 and ask for the body's favorable consideration. Mr. President, we were moving very quickly yesterday, and I think that we might have gotten out over the top of the front of our skis on this one. If we choose to remain where we were as of yesterday, I at least wanted the body to know a little bit more about this CASPER project. What we're talking about here, senators, is the state office building up in CASPER. And as you know, Mr. President, I've served on a task force since about 2011 on this particular project. The hinge point of that project was a badly deteriorating state building up there in CASPER, in which about 100 of our state workers go to work every day. And so that's what began the conversation. I think you heard from the majority floor leader, Mr. President, that is a building that the city has overlooked for about 3 years in terms of code that we know we've got to get up to snuff on. And so that was really the hinge point that started the conversation. The best remedy that our legislators and others within our state construction department, others that served on these task forces, met probably 50 times in the last 5 or 6 years, determined that the best remedy was to try to build a building. That building would then house 392 state employees. It would consolidate 14 different locations in that city, under which right now we are paying rental fee. And the idea being that if we were to build that building, it would pay for itself in 12 years. So that's what we took off the table yesterday, Mr. President. I thought it was worthy of our conversation, or at least a little bit further consideration. In addition to that, there was all that language in there that would allow for some of that land to be leased, thereby providing some funds back to us on property that right now isn't even being used. And so there's some opportunity for us to gain some lease back on that. This is a project, Mr. President, that is past level 2. It's shovel ready and ready to go, and it's one of the few construction projects that we heard about in appropriations in January and December, which will actually pay us back. And so I would ask for your favorable consideration on this amendment. Thank you.
Senator Meyer.
Mr. President, and I applaud the good senator from CASPER for bringing this amendment, because I think the discussion is that all of these projects that JAC and the Capital Building Commission and the School Facilities Commission that brought forward, and they're good projects, Mr. President, no doubt about it. But the question is not whether they're good projects, whether they should be done or shouldn't be done, but it's really the velocity that we spend our capital building construction funds, and that's really a factor of the problem that we have with the big elephant in the room of $800 to $900 million in a deficit, structural deficit. And that's something, Mr. President, that I think we have to address. This addresses it. It puts it back to where, as everybody comes back in next year, you can take a look at it and see, okay, this is our priority. Maybe oil and gas have done a little bit better than we thought, and we got a nice little surprise this year of about $140 million. Maybe we'll get the same thing next year. If we do, then maybe we can move forward on some of these things. But, Mr. President, I think that we need to slow down how many things we put in the construction queue. This is just slowing it down, knowing that full well it's a good, viable project. More likely than not, we'll go forward in the immediate future, but we just need to slow it down. And I'd ask that you resist this amendment reluctantly, though, because of the good work that everybody's put forth in this process. But I think that we need just to slow it down. Thank you, Mr. President.
Okay, further discussion. Senator Hicks?
Yeah, Mr. President, and I share my colleague's concern. I mean, it is a good project, and it will get built. It's just a matter of timing. I would just remind everybody, you know, there's another house in this that also has a say-so on this, and this has got a
Yeah, let's refrain from talking about that.
Yeah, Mr. Chairman, Mr. President, so, you know, I think, again, we know this is going to get built, and it really is a timing issue. 1 year is not going to make or break the project. I just think we need to set back a year, see what's happened. I know I've expressed my concerns with the Craig report. I think it's over forecast of the revenues at $3 and $3.10 natural gas. I think we need a 1 year reprieve to see where we're at a year from now.
Further discussion. Okay, we're voting on third reading amendment number 3. Oh, Senator Lana, for your second time.
Mr. President, thank you, and I have a lot of respect for my two good friends from Torrington and the Snake River Valley, and they make some excellent points. This is a policy discussion that we're having that I think is slightly larger than one project. Your Appropriations Committee brought to you essentially four major projects, and you know whether we choose to go forward on any of them, from Evanston and Lander to Kemmer to Casper to here, I would just remind that, you know, I think it makes some sense for us to move forward on some of this. All of those dollars that we spend out in those communities are going to turn over many, many times. They're going to keep people working and going forward. So, honestly, I think the level that was brought forth in the budget bill is reasonable. I think it takes into account all of the things that were brought up. I think this one makes sense, Mr. President, and I would urge you to support the amendment.
Okay, we're voting on third reading amendment number 3. Chief Clerk, please call the roll.
Agar? No. Anderson?
Yes.
Aye. Anselmi Dalton?
No.
Baldwin?
Aye.
Barnard?
Aye.
Boner? No. Bouchard?
No.
Burns?
No.
No. Case?
No.
No. Christensen?
Aye.
Aye. Coe?
No.
No. Dockstetter? No. Driscoll?
No.
No. Ellis?
No.
No. Emmerich?
No.
No. Hastert?
No.
No. Hicks?
No.
No. Kinski?
No.
No. Landon?
Aye.
Aye. Meyer?
No.
No. Moniz?
No.
No. Nethercott? No. Pappas?
No.
No. Perkins?
Aye.
Peterson?
No.
No. Rothfuss?
No.
No. Scott?
No.
No. Von Fladen?
Aye.
Wasserberger?
No.
No. President Bebout?
No.
No.
No. Aye.
President
no.
Bebout?
No. 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 Bebout, no. We'll count them up 3 times. Maybe it'll help.
Closing vote. Closing vote closed. Senate file 121, 7-aye, 23-no on the amendment.
Third reading amendment number 3 has failed to pass. Third reading amendment number 4, reading clerk, please read that one in.
Senate file 121, third reading amendment number 4, page 14 after line 19.
Senator Landon.
Well, Mr. President,
better luck on this one.
Thank you. I'm going to need a bucket of water over here to put this fire out. But, Mr. President, I would move third reading amendment number 4 to Senate file 121. And fellow senators, this is just an effort to remind that we do have an issue up in that impoverished and underappreciated community. We have a building that, quite frankly, is on borrowed time, and we're going to have to figure out what we're going to do with it. All this does is suggest that if we're not going to build up there, maybe what we'd better do is put aside some renovation funds. But having said all that, I think I'll withdraw the amendment, Mr. President. Thank
Without you. Objection, that amendment has been withdrawn. Third reading amendment number 5. Reading clerk, please read that one in.
Senate file 121, third reading amendment number 5, page 55, line 13.
Senator Burns.
Mr. President, I move third reading amendment number 5 to Senate File 121 and ask for the body's favorable consideration. Mr. President, all this amendment does is when we put the task force on the university's residences back in, we did not go far enough, and what this amendment does is extends the removal of what the Senate did. In other words, it makes it immediate, makes it effective immediately. That's all it does.
Okay, there's no appropriation unless there's a desire to have the A's and A's. All in favor of third reading amendment number 5, say aye. Opposed, no. Third reading amendment number 5 has passed. Senator Coe.
May I have privilege of the floor?
Yes, sir, you may.
In the gallery right here behind me, along with Superintendent Baylow, we have the Public School Options Organization. This is 2018 Capital Day. So every year, parents from around Wyoming join together in Cheyenne to promote school choice and speak with their legislators about its importance. This year, Capital Day will start at the Depot Museum downtown before taking Cheyenne's iconic trolleys to the Jonah Building to be recognized by both chambers of the legislature. Please welcome these guests today in the Senate.
Welcome to the Senate. It's good to see you here. Madam Superintendent, welcome. It's good to see you back there as well. Third reading, amendment number 6. Reading clerk, please read that amendment in.
Senate File 121, third reading amendment number 6, page 17, line 13.
Senator Meyer.
Thank you, Mr. President. Mr. President, this goes into the line that basically goes to the science initiative in, up at UW. Yesterday, we provided $60 million for that initiative and asked the university to come up with $40. What this amendment does is ask that we provide $80 million and for UW to come up with $20. Now, I believe there's something like 76 or 77 somewhere in there that's already appropriated, so the net effect I think to this current budget would actually just be another $4 or $5 million. So I think it's a reasonable thing to do, is to say to get this thing moving, is to spend that extra $4 or $5 million, put it up to an 80-20 match. It's a heck of a project they have up there, Mr. President, and we really need to make our university relevant as far as providing top-notch education. And this effort will do that, Mr. President. It's a new way of teaching science and technology. They essentially have a laboratory set up where they take projects off the shelf. The students get right involved, and it's a holistic type teaching. There's that holistic word. I never thought I'd use it today, Mr. President. But really, it's a great project, and I think it's a past time that we get this done. And it's for every community in the state, Mr. President. And it's to make our university a top notch, world class institution, and get it headed that way. So it's just not for one part of the state. It's for all parts of the state. And I hope we can all get together and support it.
Mr. Vice President, would you come up here, please?
Uh-oh.
Mr. President?
Yeah, thank you, Mr. Vice President. I was really leaning towards supporting this until I heard my colleague from Goshen County's arguments 5-10 minutes ago about the spending we have and this huge deficit we have. And so I listened very carefully to what he said, and then I've had second thoughts now about supporting this. And actually, member of the Senate, he's right. You know, we have a huge, huge deficit, and there's no question about the importance of the science initiative. I don't think any of us have ever said it's not important. There's never been a question of what it will do for the university. It'll be huge for the university. There's never been any question to how we move the university in the direction of having science more be involved, tying into the engineering college, the STEM building, the $1.2 billion other dollars we spent over there at the university. But when you really look at the state and wearing my, once again, board of directors hat, looking at the deficit we have, you've convinced me because of your early arguments to not support this. So thank you for your arguments earlier, and I'm going to speak against the amendment and ask you to vote no.
Any further discussion on Amendment 6?
Senator Nethercott.
Thank you, Mr. President. I know you indicated that you would consider your support of this bill, and I just would like to relay that would be really swell. I think it's time for us to be done with the science initiative. It's clearly been an area of great concern for this body. Let's give them the money we've already appropriated of the $76.6 million that they're currently set to receive that's been set aside for this project. Just make it 80, make them responsible for the other 20, and be done with it. So for that, I'd urge your favorable consideration.
Senator Dockstader.
Thank you, Mr. President. Good discussion. I'd urge the body to save the $20 million here. We can still move this forward with a 60-40 match. This combination, we're not slowing things down. They can still come up with the money. I remind the body that we opened up some other avenues a moment or two ago for them to do that. I'd urge the body to save some money here and vote against it.
Anybody else for the first time before the speaker? Senator Driscoll, go ahead.
Mr. Chairman, speaking on and for it, folks, these are appropriated dollars. We've already appropriated them, and they're sitting there tagged for a certain reason. And we're now reaching back and taking money back out of a prior appropriation. And I stand in front of you telling you that's bad policy to do that. Once you've appropriated something, you put it in an account, it should stay there. If we're going to start down this road, believe me, we've got lots of appropriated funds sitting out there that are free money. We can claw a lot of money back from a lot of places if we want to start down that path.
Further discussion? Senator Kinski.
On and against the amendment, we've crossed the bridge. I believe in the science initiative. I believe in a lot of very important concerns for my district I've seen hit the cutting room floor. I'm concerned not just about today, but 2, 4, 6 years from now when we come back and the cupboard is bare. The university can find the money, has the money. There are many generous donors. They build a lot of things over there with these kind of match programs. I'm just concerned we get on a slippery slope. We're pushing now close to $20 million is the net effect of this that we won't have when we come back 2, 4, 6 years from now. So I would urge no on the amendment. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Anybody else for their first time? Senator Anselmi Dalton, for your first time.
Thank you, Mr. President. On and for the amendment, we appropriate these funds for these people, and this is our only university, and we have community colleges. We need to support our children in some way. This is an important endeavor. The science initiative is important, and I'd ask you to do it for the children.
Mr. Vice President, you come. No. You don't need to come up. Anybody else for their first time?
You might want to tell them you were for them.
Anybody else for the first time? Senator Meyer, for your second time.
Thank you, Mr. President, and thank you so much for those that kind of glowing synopsis of my earlier debate on a previous topic, and I certainly do believe that we have to be frugal, but I also think, Mr. President, the argument that was set forth by the good member from Appropriations about this, a lot of this being a prior appropriation, and you know there's something about an old thing that. And I'm sure it's probably in the cowboy way or something, but I remember it from an old fraternity that I was in years ago, is that the first thing you got to be is a man that follows to be a true gentleman. You got to be a man whose deed follows his word, and we gave our word to UW, and I think our deed has to be is that we're gonna keep it up there. We're gonna give you that appropriated amount. And that's a reasonable thing to do, Mr. President. And I know it's a hard thing to do. It's a hard thing for us to think that we can come up with another $4.5 million to bring it up to 80. And I'm getting their code of the West. Okay, code of the West. We have the code of the West. I know what it's in there.
We know what it is.
Yeah, we all know what it is. But you know, I guess I just want you to vote your conscience on this one, guys. You know, and I think your conscience is going to tell you the right thing to do. And let motherhood and apple pie be your guide. Thank you, Mr. President.
Okay, we're voting on third reading.
Motherhood and apple pie.
We're voting on, wait a minute, there are two amendments. Oh, there's another one coming after this one. Okay. We're voting on third reading amendment number 6. Chief Clerk, please call the roll.
Agar? No. Anderson?
Aye.
Anselmi Dalton?
Aye.
Baldwin? No. Barnard?
No.
Boner? No. Bouchard? No. Burns?
Aye.
Aye. Case? No. Christensen?
Aye.
Cope?
Aye.
Dockstader? No. Driscoll?
Aye.
Ellis?
Aye.
Emmerich?
Aye.
Hastert?
Aye.
Hicks?
No.
No. Kinski?
No.
No. Landon?
Aye.
Meyer?
Aye.
Moniz?
Aye.
Nethercott?
Aye.
Pappas?
Aye.
Perkins?
No.
No. Peterson?
No.
No. Rothfuss?
Aye.
Aye. Scott?
Aye.
Bonflader?
No.
No. Wasserberger?
Aye.
President Bebout?
No.
No. Closing vote. Closing vote. Close. 17 aye, 13 no.
Third reading amendment number 6 has passed. Third reading amendment number 7, Senator Hicks.
Mr. President, could I have privilege of the floor?
Yes, you may.
Ladies and gentlemen, I would like you to give me a warm welcome to one of our previous legislators from the House of Representatives, who also his father, George Salisbury, was in the House of Representatives from the great place of Snake River, Wyoming, Pat O'Toole. Yeah.
Pat, it's so good to see you. Welcome to the Senate. Representative O'Toole and I were both elected in 1986. I happened to be in the party of the minority party at that particular time, and Representative O'Toole was known as the water man, and he hasn't, and Senator Hicks has kind of taken over there, but not really, because I know they have on their speed dial that Pat can call Senator Hicks up at any time and straighten Senator Hicks out. So it's good to have you here, and thank you for all your service to Wyoming, and you continue to serve in many capacities. So welcome to the Senate. I will tell you also that having served in the House, this is the body to be in, the Senate. So anyway, would you like to say anything, Pat, real quick, like? No, get up to the mic over here by Senator Burns.
I appreciate it.
Over here, Pat.
Senator Burns, there you go.
I appreciate it very much. And you know, our family had a multi-year history in this legislature, and as Eli said, we were elected at the same time and have been friends ever since. I saw Lorraine and had a visit. And in retrospect, I kind of call the other body the barbarians, having watched you guys with your much more serious dialogue. But thank you very much for the recognition, and I love Wyoming.
Thank you. Thank you. Once again, welcome. Okay, third reading amendment number 7. Reading clerk, please read that one in.
Senate file 121, third reading amendment number 7, page 17, line 13.
Senator Nethercott.
Thank you, Mr. President. As enjoyable as it is to be where we are, I think I'm going to stop where we're ahead, and I'm going to withdraw this amendment.
Well, that's objected to.
I know.
Do I have a motion on you? Someone.
Yeah, code of the West, Kurt.
Mr. Majority Florida, maybe we should have a meet. No. Okay, without objection, that amendment has been withdrawn. Third reading amendment number 8. Reading clerk, please read that one in.
Senate File 121, third reading amendment number 8, page 2, line 2.
It's a rare moment.
Senator Meyer, once again, we'll see which hat you're wearing this time.
Okay, Mr. President. Give me another hat, Mr. President.
Whoa.
Mr. President, my apologies to the body and to you and to my past president, Boyd Edens, because this is something that I haven't done since about 23 years ago, Mr. President. And if you want to rule this one out of order, I'm fine with it, Mr. President, because it is a true piggyback. It brings in a bill, basically the construct of the bill that passed out of here. The reason I bring it is because I think I just want to have this as a fallback, and the body can vote this up, vote or down, or you can rule it out of order. Either way is fine with me, Mr. President. It has to do with the Veterans Skilled Nursing Center loan authorization, and I can't talk about what's gone on in other areas of the Capitol. But I think that, you know, I think it might be a prudent thing to have this, if the Senate wants it, to have it as a backstop. With that, you all know the bill, you all know the questions. If you want to rule out of order, I'm fine with it, Mr. President.
Well, Senator Meyer, that thought has crossed my mind considering what's been going on earlier today, but I'm not going to rule this out of order, absent any objection from the Senate. Any objection from the Senate? Okay, I'm going to rule it in order. Further discussion on Senate file, or third reading amendment number 8. Further discussion. Okay, Chief Clerk, please call the roll on third reading amendment number 8.
Agar? Aye. Anderson?
Aye.
Aye. Anselmi Dalton?
Aye.
Aye. Baldwin?
Aye.
Aye. Barnard?
Aye.
Aye. Boner?
Aye.
Aye. Bouchard?
Aye.
Aye. Burns?
Aye.
Aye. Case?
Aye.
Aye. Christensen?
Aye.
Aye. Coe?
Aye.
Aye. Dockstetter?
Aye.
Aye. Driscoll?
Aye.
Aye. Ellis?
Aye.
Aye. Emmerich?
Excused.
Excused. Hastert?
Aye.
Aye. Hicks?
Aye.
Aye. Kinski?
Aye.
Aye. Landon?
Aye.
Aye. Meyer?
Aye.
Aye. Moniz?
Aye.
Aye. Nethercott? Aye. Pappas? Aye. Perkins?
Aye.
Aye. Peterson?
Aye.
Aye. Rothfuss?
Aye.
Aye. Scott?
Aye.
Von Fleder?
No.
No. Westerberger? Aye. President Bebout?
Aye.
Aye. Closing vote? Closing vote closed. 28 aye, 1 no, 1 excused.
Third reading amendment number 8 is passed. Third reading amendment number 9. Read it in, please.
Senate File 121, third reading amendment number 9, page 1, line 5.
Senator Meyer, again, you ready?
Yes, Mr. President. Mr. President, I bring this to the body for a way to, I guess, incentive.
Move it.
Okay, yeah, excuse me. Thank you, Mr. President. Mr. President, I move third reading amendment number 9 to Senate File 121, ask for the body's favorable consideration. Mr. President, we've had some discussions about how we can incentivize and help the local folks out a bit and not so much rely on state funds. And that's what this does, Mr. President. It goes into a current program that incentivizes the bonds that are issued by the University of Wyoming and then goes into and extends that to the community college districts. And that is on new bonds, and that really the heart of the whole thing is in subparagraph A. And all throughout this particular amendment, Mr. President, where it says university, we add and community college district. And these are on revenue bonds, Mr. President, where you have dormitories and you have those funds that are coming in. And what we do with this is that of the federal mineral royalties over the cap of $200 million, and this year there's between $250 and $260 over the cap. And what's been told to me through staff, Mr. President, is that the university actually doesn't even use this
this revenue guarantee of $18 million, but just the mere fact that it's out there to be used basically gives their bonds a higher, better rating. And when you have a higher rating, you pay less interest on the bonds. And so what we're doing is that we're adding in the community colleges for up to $4 million of that revenue stream, and we're capping the amount of money that community college districts can use in revenue bonds for this supplemental coverage over on page 3 at $60 million. Now, Mr. President, I think that's a little bit more than what they would actually need today, but that's a little bit of flexibility in there. So as they're planning their projects for next year, they'll have the opportunity to actually think about bonding rather than coming into us and asking for money. And so I think, Mr. President, it sets up the possibility for lower interest rates for these community college districts for their revenue bonds. And it doesn't cost the state anything. We're just lending the possibility of our credit. And with that, Mr. President, I would stand for any questions. It's a program that the university has used for a good long time. It's been very successful. We're just extending that to community colleges, and hopefully it'll relieve some of the pressure on our general fund and our LSRA, and so they can go to the voters and ask for those funds.
Further discussion? Okay. Mr. Vice President, go ahead.
I'm trying to understand on the amendment lines 25 through 32, little 7 there, Romanette.
Page 1?
Page 1, sorry. Page 1, 25 through 32. And I don't quite understand bonding, but I really don't understand this $4 million for community. Is that money that we would have to pay should they default on their bond, or is that $4 million? Yeah, I guess I don't understand that section.
Anybody else? Senator Landon, go ahead.
Mr. President, thank you. This is substantive enough that I'm struggling to get arms around it as well. I think I support this. Does this in any way jeopardize UW's ratings or access? You know, if we're going to load the bus with the colleges on the UW train there, I just want to make sure that we're not in any way jeopardizing the ability of the university moving forward.
Senator Perkins.
Thank you, Mr. President. Boy, this brings back some memories. This brings back memories of when we were in the real capital, you know, however long ago that was. I do remember this, and I remember that what was going on was this came over, and I remember, in fact, it was our the guy who's the chief of our fiscal office in LSO was over at the UW at that time, and they came over and they had this, and that was the whole thing. It is a revenue guarantee in the event that the university couldn't repay this, that the state would repay up to $18 million out of the general fund to do that. So the plan was to never be used, but by having that pledge, you got a lower interest rate, and it was able to save the university, I think, millions of dollars in interest payments on these bonds over the years. And so that's what the program was, and as I understand it, what he's saying, of the 18 now, you just take 4 out of the 18, and that 4 can be used by the community college districts to do the exact same thing. So you get a guarantee of $4 million annually from the community colleges. The community colleges will have to pay that, but it will, by having those dedicated streams available in the event of that the primary obligor under the bond, which would be in this case the community colleges, couldn't pay, that the state would pay that interest. But obviously the state has certain control of finances and can divert to cover those payments if it needed to. That's the way I understand it. If that's wrong, please let me know.
Senator Rothfuss, you've been up for a while. Go ahead.
Thank you, Mr. President. On for the amendment. And just to clarify, it actually doesn't affect the university in any way unless I'm missing something. This is additional language on page 1, lines 29 through 32, where the university's $18 million FMR guarantee, which can back loans and bonds to the university, still stands as it is. This is an additional $4 million, which is, again, FMRs that are not already allocated towards bonds or interest, which would be towards the community college district revenue bonds. And so to answer the good senator from Natrona County's concerns, my understanding is that it wouldn't do anything to the university's credit.
Okay, Senator Scott, you wish to jump up?
Mr. President, not really. Senator Ruffus made my point. Just on for the amendment.
Okay, Senator Nethercott.
Thank you, Mr. President. On and for the amendment. Senators, this is an elegant solution to some of the challenges our community colleges have been facing in order to find the available revenue to continue some of their building projects and also to maintain their buildings, because remember, that's part of community colleges' operational budgets, unlike our other schools in the state. So I think that's very important that they have enough tools in their toolbox in order to do that. And all this bill does, I think, has been properly explained, but just really allows that kind of culmination and joint forces of our credit, essentially, for those colleges to get an appropriate level of interest rate to make these projects pencil. So for that, I'd ask for your favorable consideration.
Okay, Senator Kinski.
Mr. President, I wonder if somebody here more knowledgeable than I, which would be 29 other people, might help me understand how a $4 million backstop is going to help the community colleges with $60 million worth of revenue bonds. And it could be that it doesn't have to be dollar-for-dollar match on those, but how does $4 million help on a potentially $60 million obligation? Thank you, Mr. President.
Okay, anyone else for the first time? For your second time, Senator Office.
Thank you, Mr. President. Just to answer that, this is a $4 million revenue annually against the $60 million debt obligation. I hope that addresses the good senator's concerns.
Okay, anybody else for the first time? Senator Meyer, do you speak to your second time?
Just briefly, and the other leverage that you get in there is that a lot of times you have private funds, so you're not doing the whole thing. We're not trying to fund community college projects for the next 100 years. We're just looking at it, you know, for partially for this year and partially for next year to kind of front-load part of it and see if they can't wean themselves off of the direct state funds and go to the bond market. So that's what it does, Mr. President. Hope for your favorable consideration.
Okay. We're voting on third reading amendment number 9. Chief Clerk, please call the roll.
Agar? Aye. Anderson?
Aye.
Aye. Anselmi Dalton?
Aye.
Aye. Baldwin?
Aye.
Aye. Barnard?
Aye.
Aye. Boner?
Aye.
Bouchard? No. Burns?
Aye.
Aye. Case?
Aye.
Aye. Christensen?
Aye.
Coe?
Aye.
Aye. Dockstetter?
Aye.
Aye. Driscoll?
Aye.
Aye. Ellis?
Aye.
Aye. Emmerich?
Aye.
Aye. Hastert?
Aye.
Aye. Hicks?
Aye.
Aye. Kinski?
Aye.
Aye. Landon?
Aye.
Aye. Meyer?
Aye.
Aye. Moniz?
Aye.
Aye. Nethercott?
Aye.
Aye. Pappas?
Aye.
Aye. Perkins?
Aye.
Peterson?
Aye.
Aye. Rothfuss?
Aye.
Aye. Scott?
Aye.
Von Fladern?
Aye.
Aye. Wasserberger? Aye. President Bebap?
Aye.
Aye. Closing vote. Closing vote closed. 29 aye, 1 no.
Third reading amendment number 9 has passed. Third reading amendment number 10. Reading clerk, please read this one in.
Senate File 121, third reading amendment number 10, page 54 after line 20.
So, Senator Meyer.
Mr. President, this is perhaps the hardest amendment that I bring to the body today. It's a tough one. We've seen it. But there were some folks off the floor when we brought it the last time, and I was hoping that we could have a little discussion on this. Mr. President, as the bill stands now, there's no money in the particular bill in school capital construction to alleviate the overcrowding and the capacity issues that we have in Laramie County, number one. And what this does is to a small but I believe significant degree start to address that by being able to build a three-section elementary school. And that's going to help alleviate the overcrowding and the problems that we have with some of these particular buildings are getting
Yeah, they're just not up to par, Mr. President. So what we do is that we go into this and we add $24 million for an elementary school. I think it starts moving forward on a problem that we do have. It's a long time that we should have been addressing it. And I think that it gives us an option, Mr. President, that if we pass this on bill across the way and we don't like what they did, that we can simply just not concur with their action, and we'll still have at least solved or began to solve one of the problems that we have. And so it gives us one more tool in the toolbox when it comes to playing hardball, Mr. President, and that's something that would entirely be up to you. That's whether you want that tool in there or not.
Yeah. Mr. Vice President, come up here. Go ahead, Senator Landon.
Thank you, Mr. President. On and reluctantly opposed to the amendment. And the reason, fellow senators, is
I have a question.
Given what this body has done over the past few days, this particular project wouldn't even be the number one priority that was brought forth by your Select Committee on School Facilities. That happens to reside up in Sheridan County, and that, too, has been removed from this bill. And so, you know, I have to represent as best I can the position that we brought forth on a committee that I chaired for so long. Even given the fact that I've spent an inordinate amount of time in this particular district trying to alleviate this problem, I think at this time, this one, I would encourage you to defeat the amendment.
Mr. President?
Yeah, thank you, Mr. Vice President. The reason we came up here to ask a question, and as I recall, the amendment the other day that you presented had money taken from the components to the tune of $18 million. And I'm trying to track this through here. It looks to me like the component money stays in. It's in another bill. I believe that's in the budget bill. But now you're taking $24 million new dollars, and so I think this is different than what you brought before. And so that's $24 million new dollars is the way I read this. I want to be sure that everybody understands this correctly.
Further comment on Amendment 10, Senator Burns.
Mr. President, I'm against this amendment on two counts. One is the good senator from Casper is correct that up in Sheridan, they have no building at all. They're in rented facilities, so I would think that if this body was going to set a priority, that would be it. The other is that this is frankly in the wrong bill. The school CapCon is incorporated into the budget bill, and all the school facilities, whether we're going with whichever we're going with, is in the budget bill, and to pull it into this bill I don't think is necessarily proper.
Okay, anyone else for the first time? Okay, anyone for their second time? Senator Meyer, for your second time.
Yeah, Mr. President, I have to agree with you, and that was not my intent. I wanted to bring back the same amendment that we had previously had. I do agree with you. I don't see that language in there, those deletions in there. And for that reason, Mr. President, thank you. And I'll withdraw this, Mr. President.
Okay, without objection, that amendment has been withdrawn. Third reading amendment number 11. Mr. Vice President, would you come up here, please?
President.
Thank you, Mr. Vice President. Member of the Senate, I move third reading amendment number 11 to Senate File 121. I just thought we should have some more discussion. And what this amendment does, Mr. Vice President, it goes back to eliminating the fact that we're going to be involved in the discussion and decisions made at the university relative to their dormitories. You know, and I've struggled with this and as to how we should do that. Right now, the bill says that we shall be involved. The Board of Trustees has stepped up voluntarily and put together an ad hoc committee, if you will, and have requested of the President of the Senate and the Speaker of the House to provide membership from the Senate and the House to be involved in that. you know, we appoint a board of, we have the opportunity as a board of trustees appointed by the governor to discuss those, we confirm those. You know, we have a very, very talented board, a board that I think is moving in the right direction. You know, we don't do this for community colleges, and I'm wondering if we want to get involved in the board decisions on this particular issue. It was driven by, I think, a lot of concern about what they may do, but let's take it a step further, members of the Senate. So there's some concern about 15th Street or one of the streets that some people want to remove it. And so the Board of Trustees and the City of Laramie are involved in this discussion about it. You know, why should we be involved in that discussion? So what do we do about that one? And we continue to go on and on. I guess my opinion is let the board do their job. I mean, they're good people. They step up. They do it as volunteers. And if we start here, how much further do we want to get involved? So I think, you know, vote your conscience on this one, but we have a good board. Maybe they ought to let them do what they ought to do, and we stay out of it. Thank you, Mr. Vice President.
Further comments on Amendment number 11? Question being called.
Chief Clerk, please call the roll. Go ahead and call the roll on it.
Agar? Aye. Anderson?
No.
No. Anselmi Dalton?
Aye.
Baldwin? Aye. Barnard?
Aye.
Aye. Boner?
Aye.
Bouchard? Aye. Burns?
Aye.
Case? Aye. Christensen?
Aye.
Cope?
Aye.
Dockstetter?
Aye.
Driscoll?
Aye.
Ellis?
Aye.
Emmerich?
Aye.
Hastert?
Aye.
Hicks?
Aye.
Kinski?
Aye.
Landon?
Aye.
Meyer?
Aye.
Moniz?
Aye.
Nethercott?
Aye.
Pappas? Aye. Perkins?
Aye.
Aye. Peterson?
Aye.
Aye. Rothfuss?
Aye.
Aye. Scott?
Aye.
Von Platern?
Aye.
Aye. Wasserberger?
Aye.
Aye. President Bebout?
Aye.
Aye. Closing vote? Anderson?
No to aye.
No to aye. Closing vote? Closing vote closed. 30 aye.
Third reading amendment number 11 has passed. Are you ready for the question on Senate File 121? Senate File 121 has been read three separate times. The question is, shall the Senate file pass the Senate? Chief Clerk, call the roll.
Agar.
Aye.
Aye. Anderson.
Aye.
Aye. Anselmi Dalton.
Aye.
Aye. Baldwin.
Aye.
Aye. Barnard.
Aye.
Aye. Boner.
Aye.
Aye. Excuse me. Bouchard.
No.
No. Burns.
Aye.
Aye. Case. No. Christensen.
Aye.
Coe.
Aye.
Dockstetter.
Aye.
Aye. Driscoll.
Aye.
Aye. Ellis.
Aye.
Aye. Emmerich.
Aye.
Aye. Hastert.
Aye.
Aye. Hicks.
Aye.
Aye. Kinski.
Aye.
Aye. Landon.
Aye.
Aye. Meyer.
Aye.
Aye. Moniz.
Aye.
Aye. Nethercott.
Aye.
Pappas.
Aye.
Aye. Perkins.
Aye.
Aye. Peterson.
Aye.
Rothfuss.
Aye.
Aye. Scott.
No.
No. Von Platern.
Aye.
Aye. Wasserberger.
Aye.
Aye. President Bebout.
Aye.
Aye. Closing vote. Closing vote closed. Senate File 121, 27 aye, 3 no.
Senate File 121, having received the affirmative vote of the majority of the members elected to the Senate, Senate File 121 has passed the Senate. Before all you senators leave, yeah, go ahead, Senator Perkins. Do you have a motion?
Yes, Mr. President, I move that the Senate stand in recess until 2 p.m.
Okay, announcements. Senator Von Flatern.
Mr. President, your committee number 9, Minerals and Economic Development, will meet in about 10 minutes till, so about 20 minutes after this recess, on Jonah Room S18 to consider the following bills: House Bill 101, engrossed electronic corporate records.
Hey, all the senators, there's a couple that are left. Please stick around because I want to get a group photo up here just as soon as we're done with this. Senator Burns, go ahead.
Mr. President, may I have privilege to the floor, please?
Yes, you may.
Mr. President, on this last bill, I apparently said something either off-color or offensive, which is not surprising in and of itself, and anybody who's offended, I apologize.
Thank you for that. Further announcements? Okay, what I want to do is, if you all don't mind, real quick, like all the senators come up here, we're going to take a quick group photo of all of you wonderful senators. This is for your president to have when I'm grayer and a little bit older, to remember February and March in Cheyenne of the year 2018. Hey, grab Senator Coe and Senator Hicks out there, would you? Oh, yeah. Come on. We're going to get a picture. Everybody stand up here and real quick, like, Michael and Drew, get up here.
Of course I can.
On either side.
32 and 33.
Right. All right. I got him. I got him.
Oh. I want one with us and then one with staff.
Everybody scoots. And then we don't. Thank you so much.
My pleasure.
I'm just folks sitting on a table, maybe.
Drew, get up here.
You want to?
Drew.
I don't want to block Senator, the greatest senator from the Northwest.
And now we have the great senator from Lincoln.
They're right there, Paul.
Next
chapter.
Should wear boots today.
Gavel us out. We got you. Shut down. Gavel out so we can shut down. You want to get in front of the dirt hole? Yeah. You can get the face. Yeah.